Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the Vootcast, Australia's Nintendo podcast. My name's Angelo Valdivia, and with me this week are Oliver Brandt.
G'day, folks.
Luke Henderson.
Howdy, howdy.
And Daniel Worthington.
Hello, hello.
We've got a great episode lined up for you this week, all about the Vooks Awards, our predictions for the year, and whether it's even useful to make any at this point, and what's on the horizon for this year. But let's kick off with how 2020 went for Nintendo and take a look back on our predictions a year ago. So since starting, or at least since me taking over the Vootcast last year at around this time, we haven't really revisited our sort of predictions or how we thought last year was going to go. Our first episode was titled, What Are Nintendo's 2020 Plans? And I can say gleefully that most of our predictions were completely wrong. It's kind of funny, like we did hope to hear more about Breath of the Wild 2, Bayonetta 3, Metroid Prime 4, all those kinds of big hitters, and Nintendo stayed mum on those, and instead we got Pikmin 3, a re-release of the Super Mario 3D games, or a few of those, and all those kinds of things. So there were a couple of surprises, but not kind of what we were expecting to hear about. Guys, how do you feel about not hearing about those three heavy hitters, Bayonetta, Breath of the Wild, or Metroid Prime 4?
Oh, I mean, I think given the way that 2020 turned out, I don't blame Nintendo for not showing off more of these things. I think it is very surprising that we haven't seen any more from Bayonetta 3 yet. It seems like every few months, Platinum, you know, pops into the news and says, no, we're definitely still working on it. And then we just see nothing. And it's been such a long time since they even really mentioned it. So it would have been nice for that. But like, Metroid Prime 4 is a long way away. I'm not expecting to hear about it until it's almost done. And, you know, Breath of the Wild 2, it seems like they really weren't pushing to get that out this year because they have Age of Calamity now. So,
Yeah, I mean, Bayonetta 3, we haven't heard anything on it officially since it was revealed.
Yeah, Nintendo haven't spoken about it since it was revealed at the Game Awards in, 2017 now, so...
Yeah, so it's been three years now. I mean, it's a fair chance that may have been just, you know, a teaser trailer from the start of development and they weren't actively making it back then, but... and I do know Platinum Games moved office spaces last year. They moved from their small little location to a much bigger one, so maybe they'll expand their teams and be able to make the game properly now. But I was honestly out of the three, Breath of the Wild, to Metroid Prime from Bayonetta, I was hoping to get Bayonetta news. But the others, same with Ollie, I don't think we were ever going to hear anything last year about them because,
Well, I think Bayonetta 3 is probably the one that would be furthest along in development, right? Because when did Bayonetta 2 come out? That was like 2013, 2014.
That was Wii U.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, They've probably had plans since then to make a Bayonetta 3. Like, yeah. Nintendo definitely wasn't going to just sleep on that.
Platinum's not a large studio, am I right? But they're still...
No, they're bigger now than they were back then.
Yeah.
Since Bayonetta 3 got announced, we've had, Astral Chain and the Wonderful 101 being ported to everything.
And that's the thing. Like, Astral Chain is probably... you know, what was holding up Bayonetta 3, if I had to guess. Just because it doesn't run with the same systems, but it's got a lot of that sort of Bayonetta feel to it. So I would say that there's probably a lot of crossover in the staff between Astral Chain and Bayo 3. So now that Astral Chain's out of the way, I would not be surprised if Bayo 3 is fully ramped up in development.
And what was that Xbox One game that never ended up happening?
That was being Dragon something Dragon
Scalebound.
That's it.
Yeah,
nothing to do with. Yeah, not Title Dragon something at all.
Scalebound.
It had dragons in it. So
yeah.
But I mean, you know, Scalebound looked awesome. Working on other stuff, and so
Yeah, they also did the work for the Nier Automata remastery stuff as well. So look, it's not as if they've been, you know, working on AO3 and nothing else. They've been obviously working on a lot of other projects, but. You know, given that this is now the one that we've known about the longest, you know, hopefully we hear something soon about it this year.
I know something that was sort of talked about. I don't think it was necessarily expected. It was something I kind of hoped for, though, were was to get Nintendo 64 games on Nintendo Switch Online as part of, you know, the suite of retro apps like the NES and the Super Nintendo, but there was no mention of that whatsoever. But, you know, like I said, Oh, sorry, go on.
So if anything, there seems to be almost like a de-emphasis on Nintendo Switch Online this year. Like, it's really cut back. There was nothing for the anniversary to sort of keep people subscribed to it.
Oh, there was Super Mario 35, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, then we see, like, Fire Emblem coming out as a standalone title separate from it, which I could see them maybe looking at that more instead of the Switch Online way, just to maybe go back to an old virtual console style.
He said virtual console.
I just want my Game Boy Switch Online
game. Yeah, it's kind of a running gag, at least with this current cast, that, you know, virtual console is a stickling point between Ollie and I.
I don't think we're going to get any N64 games anytime soon, purely because there's no need for them to do it. The library that they have on the SNES and NES is so vast that they could just, especially at the rate they're releasing games, coast on that for you know, another couple of years.
Yeah, but they're pulling out like their J-list games. Like, what's that one about the wizard that no one really cares about?
I'm not saying they're good games, and I'm not saying that they should release them. I'm just saying that they've got plenty to release.
Yeah. We did get DKC 3 in December. So.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so like, just on the... Yeah, they may as well just give up on Super Nintendo games. I got a lot of response. I wrote the article for the Super Nintendo, the DKC 3 coming to the Switch Online, and I called it the best Super Nintendo game, and I got a lot of pushback from people on our Facebook page about that.
I did get a little swell of rage in me as well when I saw that headline, but, you know,
that's fine. I just want Mario RPG. That's all I want on it, and then I'll be cool. Don't release anything else.
You got a throwback in the Sephiroth reveal trailer of that with Geno. Because so Sakurai, you know, everyone goes, Sakurai, he knows his games. Like, no. Somebody working for Sakurai knows their games. There was this shot of Sephiroth, and they had Mario, I think it was Donkey Kong, or no, Bowser to the left, and then the Geno Mii Fighter to the right. And reminiscent of the Super Mario Legend of the Seven Stars RPG. So you got close last year with Smash Brothers, but that's as close as you're getting.
Well, there was a Paper Mario game, so you did get a Mario RPG at least.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I honestly think, you know, it's like N64 it's harder to port. There's more work that would have to go into making those games run as flawlessly as Nintendo wants.
But they've already done it. They already have a fully functional and pretty good Nintendo 64 emulator on Switch now, because they did that at the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection. The work's done now.
But now my work is done.
It's so much... To me, it's more sense. You know, a lot of the N64 games people want to play, people would pay for. A lot of the Game Boy games, no one wants to pay for them. I could still think that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'll happen first.
I was just saying, now, because back to Ollie's point with the emulator being done, you know, maybe now that they've done that hard work, maybe now they'll look at bringing other things to Switch Online. I just think for them, there's no benefit for them to do so until, you know, somebody was willing to pay the money for the work to be done. And I don't think Switch Online, in terms of the games that they're giving us, is something that they're too worried about to, you know, doing, which is why we're sticking with the older stuff.
Look, this isn't going to be part of my predictions or anything like that, but I could totally see Nintendo really pulling a sly one and kind of adding like extra like packages to your Nintendo subscription, where, you know, you pay an extra $5 for your membership per year and you can get access to the Nintendo 64 games or something like that. But then, of course, that would require them to actually release more games to keep people interested in paying that extra subscription package.
Yeah,
who knows if that'll
No.
Oh, goodness gracious. No. Oh, he brought out a Virtual Boy. Oh, God. Shut this
Virtual
podcast
Boy
down.
On the Switch Online.
I mean, you'd gracious. Have to use the Labo VR headset for it, and we all know that one didn't sell. That's why that killed the Labo series. Oh,
that thing should be censored. My God. some other touch points for 2020. Let's look at a couple of articles that we had from last year. So around the same time as the Vookcast's premiere, or re-premiere last year, Vooks had an article called What Nintendo Does in 2020 Is Anyone's Guess? So We Did, which just had a couple of, or had a bunch of pie in the sky predictions from the Vooks team. And it's kind of funny to look at now because they're written up with percentages next to each prediction. So for example, Breath of the Wild 2, there's a 50% chance of that coming out. So that's kind of funny. Wow. Bayonetta 3, that's a 90% chance. I just love the Daniel Pukovic actually put that together. Metroid Prime 4, 0%. So he got
that one right.
He nailed that one. That was a bullseye on that.
Absolutely did not nail the next one, which is something else Metroid at 100%. And 2020 was completely devoid of Metroid.
Yeah, there was that really funny moment. So there was another prediction here, Pokemon Let's Go Johto. There was that like cool 3 or 4 days where people thought there might be a Let's Go Johto with that sneaky announcement Easter egg. I can't remember.
Oh, that's right. The direct when they announced Pokemon Snap, was it?
Yeah.
And yes. DLC and then, for Sword and Shield, and then behind whatever his name is.
Behind him, he had like a couple of the evolutions from Johto or something like that. People were like, yeah, and a few other
Johto starters.
Yeah.
It's like people read anything into, you know, like, oh, the chairs behind Sakurai are purple and yellow. That means Waluigi is definitely going to be unlockable or something.
Yeah. Super Mario Odyssey 2 is 60% chance. More Splatoon? Kind of got that one right, though, because the Splatfest did come back. So
that's
true. We did get that one. Mm. Super Mario Party sequel, 100%.
I'm really surprised that didn't happen, honestly. Like, Super Mario Party seemed like it was definitely going to get a sequel.
Well, I mean,
the first one sold amazingly, and they never did any DLC or even any updates for it. It seemed like, you know, this is definitely a thing that's going to happen, and then it definitely did not.
So the team that did make Super Mario Party did then go on to make 51 Worldwide Classics. So kind of makes sense that they didn't. But we didn't know that game was coming out back when this
was right,
put together. So, you know, it was still very much wishful thinking at that point.
Mm. More Kirby, 941%. Super Mario 3.
And that happened.
Yeah. 9.41%
Kirby Fighters Clash, wasn't it?
You remember, the Kirby game that we got was also the one Nintendo themselves leaked. Which is a rare thing.
That's true.
Super Mario 3D World port, that one also came true, but it didn't come out last year. It comes out this year, but it did get announced. Pikmin 3 port, 100%. And Banjo-Kazooie XBLA port, 69%. Those obviously didn't happen.
That one was kind of close, though, because there was that bizarre posting on the Nintendo Japan website of them hitting the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah, we haven't...
Banjo-Kazooie.
We haven't... Is there a story about that one on the site?
No, because, like, nothing really came of it. It was just they were on the site, and then they weren't, and it was an error.
Just a weird blip on the radar.
It was, but it definitely wasn't announced, but it's kind of funny that they ended the year with that little blip.
Yeah. But on a more positive note, somewhat at least, let's turn our attention to the Vooks Awards. So this is the best of Switch indies and the highs and lows of 2020. So taking out Vooks' Game of the Year is, of course, Animal Crossing New Horizons, the huge success story for Nintendo of 2020, or really video games in general, I'd say. Came out early, right at the sweet spot when the world just went to hell and Animal Crossing became pretty much every gamer's just slight saving grace. Indie Game of the Year went to Hades, which I'm very happy about. I reviewed that game and had a great time with it. It was really, really good fun. The Aussie Game of the Year was Moving Out, which is kind of like if no one played it, it's kind of like Overcooked, but you're moving objects out of homes and you're just trashing the joint. Disappointment of the Year, though, Nintendo time limiting everything. And we've gone on about this one many times over recent episodes, so we don't need to talk too much about it. But runner up, I think Ollie can really cover this one better, is Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. So why did this one get the runner up of Disappointment of the Year, Ollie?
Because it's still broken. I've talked about this. I've written about this a lot. I've got a website dedicated to telling you if
you're
it
like
works
the,
yet.
You're the only person in Australia covering this story as well, which is really interesting.
Like, there is no other outlet at all. Like, I don't want to like name names, but there's no other like Australian gaming outlet that even touched this story. And I don't know why, because like it's a pretty big company that just released a game that doesn't work.
And a lot of people are looking forward to it as well.
Yeah. I think. So yeah, basically, Square Enix released Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered. They took the local gameplay out of it and made it online-only gameplay, but the online-only gameplay didn't work in Australia or New Zealand. And then they pulled it from the eShop and said, oh, it'll be back when it's fixed. And like we're 3, 4, 5 months on now. And it's still not back and not fixed. And they've updated it like pretty substantially, like 6 or 7 times.
There was a big update all of like a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
For the game.
And they just haven't fixed it at all. So it's still working. And I mean, I check the game on PS4, Switch, and mobile every single day because I need to update my website, which is ffccfixedinanz.com, which also has a link to tell you to take you to a guide to get a refund if you bought it during that time where it was still available. But yeah, just I don't know what they're doing. But it's pretty clear that they're never going to fix it, and they just don't really care.
Yeah, what a banana situation. So strange.
Just completely nuts.
Mm. And out of all the games for it to happen to, it's like this one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh, well. Let's look forward to 2021 in that case. So we've got our predictions sorted out here. I think everyone's got 3 predictions down. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. It so we could just go around in rounds. So, you know, we'll each give one prediction, and then we'll go around and do a second prediction and a third prediction. Does anyone want to go first in particular?
I'll take the first one, if that's all right.
Go for it. So we'll start with Ollie.
So my first prediction of 2020 is a Splatoon spinoff. I've been talking about this for a little while. I think that there are a lot of sort of genres that Splatoon could move into. You could have sort of like a side-scrolling platformer, shoot 'em up kind of thing, and I think that would work really well. But personally, what I'm looking for out of a Splatoon spinoff is a new style boutique. It just needs to be Inklings, and you dress them up in clothes, and that's the game. And I know that sounds like, you know, why would anybody do that? But like, it's worth noting that like the new style boutique games are generally aimed towards girls and women, and Splatoon is one of the games that has a really high percentage of female players, so you know, I feel like there's probably a little bit of crossover there. I'm also a fan of both of them, so I would play the hell out of both of them.
I do think
Splatoon needs some sort of spin-off, but yeah, go Luke.
But as I say, it doesn't hurt to the Splatoon world is because, you know, we've only seen sort of one little segment of it outside of the campaign. You know, we see that sort of hub in 1 and 2, and they're both quite unique. So the world itself is still very blank in terms of things that they could do with it. I mean, as a joke, yep, last year I did a box art for Splatoon, and it was Toon, T-U-N-E. It was a singing karaoke game, so you had to sing all the little songs. Because somebody, I think it was Ollie, made a comment about it or something, so I quickly mocked one up. And it got me thinking about it too. Like, the Splatoon-iverse is so empty at the moment that, you know.
Splatoon-iverse. Oh, get out of here, Luke.
I didn't say Splatoon-iverse. I said the Splatoon world is so empty.
Okay. I thought you said Splatoon-iverse.
No. I'm not going to make puns that bad. I said them at the end of the show. But there's just so much potential in there. So I agree with Ollie. That could be something that we could see this year.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to go next?
I'll go because mine I think is pretty hopeful. Is that in February we'll get a release date for Bayonetta 3, and that release date will be early to mid-May.
Hmm. So why those dates in particular?
Purely because Nintendo have lately been on a 2.5 month release cycle where they announce a game and a few months later it's out. It also would sort of line up. We got Bayonetta 2 and 1 on Switch in February 2018. So obviously we've already got Super Mario 3D World, and I don't think they'd put this one straight after it. I think they're going to slot this in for a May release, sort of giving it, you know, the summer, you know, the winter period for us to sort of just gain traction and go for it over there. I just think in terms of games that are going to come out, that one should be done or as close to done as it needs to be for them to just, you know, actually announce it and announce the date for it.
Yeah, fair enough. Daniel, you want to go next?
Okay, I think mine's I hope it's kind of obvious, given there's a bunch of anniversaries coming up this year. I don't know why 35 is the number Nintendo's sort of focusing on, just because why ever. Anyway, but I think there's going to be more of the Game & Watch re-releases this year. Like, we've got three big anniversaries. Well, two big anniversaries and one kind of big-ish 35. We've got Legend of Zelda, Metroid, and Kid Icarus all came out 35 years ago this year. So I could kind of see, you know, that they've spent all this money making this, you know, designing the Game & Watch to play Mario. So why not just release more of them? You know, ones that just have like Zelda or Metroid or whatever in it.
Maybe Nintendo release a soldering kit so you can connect the USB-C cable back up and you can just upload the games yourself.
Oh, there's plenty of videos on YouTube if you want to learn how to do it.
There is also, you forgot one, Daniel. There's a fourth anniversary this year.
What's that?
Donkey Kong at 40.
Yep. 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong.
Of course, I completely forgot about that.
The game that made Nintendo.
Yeah. Mm. Donkey Kong 94 on a Game & Watch.
That's a good point, actually. Maybe there'll be like some sort of 40th anniversary arcade cabinet that they only make three of or something.
The original Donkey Kong on Game & Watch was the first D-pad, so I wouldn't mind just seeing that sort of brought back.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's probably a safe one. There's...
I mean, I can give you a good reason I don't want that to happen, and that's because I cannot afford it.
$80
on like three different things. Like, that's nuts.
Oh, look, you know, I don't think, you know, as much as I like the Kid Icarus games, I don't think that would happen for Kid Icarus.
Pretty sure the Kid Icarus anniversary is just going to come and go without a word from Nintendo.
Yeah, there'll be a tweet from Sakurai, and that'll be it.
Sad Uprising just sort of bombed.
My turn. So mine is that, so I'm still not subscribed to the idea of a Switch Pro. I'm still not sure if that will be the thing that Nintendo releases next as their big hardware. I reckon their next step would actually just be like the next Switch at this point, because it's coming up to 4 years now since the system came out. But if there is a Switch Pro and it's officially announced, I would predict that it will be over $500 Australian, because the original Switch is still selling, you know, for like $450 thereabouts. And, you know, very rarely dips to something like $370, like around Christmas time or something like that. But it still hovers around that $450 sort of marker. So if there is a 4K Switch Pro, you know, with bells and whistles and all that kind of stuff, it'll definitely be over $500. And at that point, I really wonder how many people would jump onto that. So that is my prediction.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Pro not being a thing, purely because Nintendo have never done that. They've done micro updates, you know, slightly faster processor, you know, maybe a bit more RAM or something like that, but they've never gone, you know, a full sort of hardware upgrade in the same generation, because that's never been their way.
They've removed features from a console before. They did it with the Wii. They removed the backwards compatibility with the GameCube. So they've done that much.
But I mean, there is...
That's not an upgrade.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They've gone backwards. You know,
there is precedent, you know, the DSi, the new 3DS, even the Game Boy Color, like depending on how you look at it, Game Boy Color is either a continuation of the Game Boy or a whole new system.
That is a good point. With their handhelds, they have done that. That's true.
Yeah. And look, the Switch, you know, it's both a handheld and a console. So there is, you know, even if it's just a new 3DS style upgrade where it's like a little bit more RAM power, so you know, certain games can run smoother and a little bit better, and there's a little, you know, like Outer Worlds would look a little bit less ugly on the Switch Pro or Switch Eye or whatever it ends up being called, because it's Nintendo and we can't predict how they're going to name stuff. You know, I think something like that's easily in the realm of possibility.
Hmm. Ollie, second round.
Well, that actually leads into my next prediction, which is that the Switch Pro will be a lot less pro than we think. For me, I don't see them doing anything sort of big. I see it as like we're reaching the point where we're going to get like a DS Lite kind of revision. So not a major change to the form factor, but, you know, a refinement of the form factor, you know, maybe a better screen, redesigned Joy-Cons, I think is the big one that everybody wants. but I don't think it's really going to be that much more powerful. I think there'll be a new model, and like we've put that in our sort of our predictions article for 2021. I don't think it's actually going to be all that pro. I think it'll be maybe a little bit better. Maybe, you know, frame rates will be a little bit smoother, and maybe there'll be some, you know, a dock that automatically upscales to 4K, but it's still only going to be a 1080p signal. So I don't think that we're really going to get there.
Do you think we'll at least get some new Joy-Con colors with that Switch Pro?
I hope so. I think the reason we haven't had new Joy-Con colors in a while is because Nintendo doesn't want to say the word Joy-Con out loud. with, you know, class action lawsuits and, you know, the EU currently investigating it. I think they're probably just trying to lie low for the moment. Mm-hmm. But like on that topic, like with Joy-Cons, I think like if they do redesign the Joy-Cons and make them better, you know, get rid of the IR camera. It's not being used by anything really. And I don't think like losing Labo is really like that big of a deal. Maybe upgrade the HD Rumble motors to match the ones that are in the PlayStation 5's DualSense, because it's a part made by the same people. It's just a slightly more refined part. So, you know, have HD Rumble 2.0 or whatever. And offer an incentive program for people to trade in their existing Joy-Cons for new ones at a reduced price, because I think that would earn Nintendo a little goodwill after just completely
after drift
fumbling,
you know. Yeah. After the whole drift thing. So, you know, I don't really think we'll see much of a Switch Pro, but I think we definitely will see a redesigned Joy-Con at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Luke.
So my second prediction is that Super Mario Party 2 will be announced with a release in October, similar to when the first one was announced and released. Mm-hmm. I picked this one purely because I think it's not a very difficult game for them to make. They've already got most of the assets. Now it's just building up minigames. And given some of the quality of the minigames over the mini Mario Party games, they obviously don't need that much thought put into them. So I could easily see them turning around another one in development between, you know, March of last year to October of this year pretty quickly.
Maybe they'll put
especially if they're only...
Oh, go on.
Sorry.
I was going to say, maybe they'll put a minigame in where you're required to have a Joy-Con that has drift.
I was just going to say, you know, maybe they'll have, you know, more than four or five game boards this time. Maybe they'll have a sixth game board hidden away somewhere.
That'd be nice. Awesome DLC.
I think it's just going to be one of those ones that's pretty easy for them to do. And given that Japan is back into a bit of a bigger outbreak in Tokyo with the virus, that I think they're going to still be working remotely. And this is going to be one of those easier games to develop without the need for, you know, everyone being in an office.
Hmm. Daniel. Your second guess.
So this is more of a want than you know, what I think will happen. But I just, you know, I think we'll get a new title from Nintendo announced, one of the newer franchises. So I can get like a, you know, with Min Min showing up in ARMS last year, I'm sorry, in
Smash.
In Smash last year, I could kind of see that setting the groundwork for, you know, an ARMS 2. And like the first ARMS was an okay game, but it still felt very bare bones. And I think, you know, it sold well enough. Like it was easily over a million seller. So, you know, I could kind of see them, you know, trying to give that another go, flesh it out a bit more, just to hopefully build another franchise from it. But if not that, I could just, you know, they last few years, they've actually tried to make a few new franchises, and I think they will try and start following up on them. Like, you know, I'd like to see an Ever Oasis 2 or a Codename Steam 2 would be my dream. Never happening, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just my hope, that we'll see, you know, them following up on the newer crop of franchises and trying to build more of that, just so they're not always going back to the, you know, the NES and Super NES era stuff that they made.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that we need a 1-2 Switch 2, right?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I you know, there was a few years ago when I saw everyone saying, like, oh, Nintendo only goes back to their old stuff. And what they don't. They actually make a lot of new stuff. It's just not where you're looking. It's stuff like Dylan's Rolling Western, Tank Troopers, Steel Diver.
Box Boy.
All these, yeah, all these little sort of really fun franchises that they do, but no one really pays attention to, and they don't really grow because of that. And part of it is because Nintendo needs to just be a bit more forceful with them. And it's like, no, you're going to get your Codename Steam 2 and you're going to like it. And we're going to keep releasing Codename Steams until, you know, it's up there with Animal Crossing. Never will happen. but let me dream. But yeah, I know. I can see an ARMS 2. Like, I've sort of thought that would have been coming. I'm surprised it's not happened already, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the team that made ARMS in the first place is the Mario Kart team. So ARMS was their last game that they released because they haven't released anything since then. So they have been quiet for a number of years because we're not counting the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe port as anything. Oh. So it's been a while for that team on a release. So I'm not saying ARMS 2 is likely, but they are due for something.
They did assist with development on
a couple of like in-house Nintendo products. So like Labo, for example, I know that like a lot of the Mario Kart team were on board for that, but not all of them by any stretch of the imagination.
Can I change my pick now? I'm actually changing my mind to a new Mario Kart.
I was wondering if someone was going to predict that one.
Like, I've actually been playing a lot of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe lately, and I'm like, Nintendo just needs to release a new one. Doesn't even need new tracks. Just bring back every single track they've ever had, like Mario Kart All-Star tracks. And
You mean reuse that Smash tag of everyone is here to make every track is here?
Yeah.
As long as they bring Birdo back as a racer.
Mario Kart Ultimate.
Oh, no. You'll get the other seven Koopalings that we never heard of just to sort of have more of that.
I mean, given that they've done, you know, how many doctors now in Dr. Mario World on mobile? There's Dr. Drybones Bowser and Dr. Boo and...
Yeah, why is Dr. Mario not a Mario Kart? Okay. But yeah, I know, but yeah, still, I think ARMS 2, not all like, you know, something from a new franchise.
Mm-hmm. All right, my turn. I predict that we'll get a Mario 3D All-Stars-esque release of Zelda for its 35th anniversary with Ocarina of Time, maybe Majora's Mask and Wind Waker HD, but the catch is that it'll again be a limited time or a time-limited release, much like 3D All-Stars already is. So Majora's Mask might be the one that, you know, might get switched out for something else, might be something like Twilight Princess, just because they've already got a port of that already out. But
why would they drop the best Zelda game from the collection?
Well, that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know, because it's also a darker game and Twilight Princess is also a darker game. So who knows? But yeah, I haven't decided whether or not Ocarina of Time would be the N64 version or if it would be the 3DS version that was, you know, basically a remaster.
I think it would have to be the 3DS version, seeing as they've already gone through all that work to things and all that.
You would hope so. It would help with some of the motion controls as well. I want to see those
in HD because...
And don't forget, there's also Skyward Sword. They could throw a HD version of Skyward Sword in there.
They could throw that in the bin, actually. Jeez. I hate that game so much. That game makes me so mad when I think about it. Ollie, back to you for round three.
All right. This is one that I think a lot of people are going to like. I'm predicting that Nintendo, or more specifically Retro Studios, will release a 3D Donkey Kong game for the 40th anniversary. Now, I'm not 100% sure if this is going to be like a Donkey Kong 64 kind of deal, 3D, or if it's going to be more like, you know, the classic arcade Donkey Kong. But I think there's going to be a Donkey Kong game this year, and I think it's going to be a 3D game. Maybe not made by Retro, but I think it's going to happen. I think, you know, we've gone such a long time without them trying to bring Donkey Kong into 3D again. So I think it's time. Finally, 2021, make 3D Donkey Kong again.
Imagine if you know, it's just been silent on a 3D Donkey Kong game, and then Quantic Dream comes out and it's like, guys, a gritty, like, psychological thriller starring Donkey Kong. By Quantic Dream.
Quantic Dream has like started publishing stuff on the Switch. Stuff that was like previously, I can't even remember what the game was.
Sea of Solitude.
Sea of Solitude, that was previously published by EA on
one of the EA originals.
The remastered version is being published by Quantic Dream. So they're clearly interested in the platform because I don't think they really did publishing all that much before this either.
No, so they've so they've gotten the
into the public the publishing game just to release stuff on Switch. So you might be closer than you think.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't mean to derail your prediction there too much. So a 3D Donkey Kong game.
You know,
I could totally see that.
No, but
yeah, because I think it could work. And I think the only thing that's stopping them is the fact that, you know, they had a bit of a bum release on the last one.
I don't think it was a bum release so much as it was just so full that by the time people got like halfway through, they were like, come on, is this over yet? Come on.
But it's sort of like it went up against like all those other collectathons, you know, you've got you know, Super Mario 64, you've got both of the Banjo-Kazooie games, which were all fantastic collectathons. So it just like the comparison to that was never really gonna be fair.
No, and it didn't help that Donkey Kong 64 had some control issues.
Yeah.
With five different Kongs and jetpacks and guns and, yeah.
Hmm. It was part of that era where, you know, the amount of time you spent on the game was the selling point on the back of the box after Final Fantasy VII, so they tried to put too much into it just to mean I'm going to get my money's worth out of this. Not realizing no one wants to collect 50 million bananas and whatever.
it wasn't filled out in a satisfying way. It was bloated.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about how it's Donkey Kong's 40th, I could easily see a new Mario versus Donkey Kong game from NST as well.
Stop playing with my heart, please. Luke, your turn.
My final prediction is that a legacy franchise will get a comeback this year, developed by a third party. It's kind of like how F-Zero was done by Sega as sort of the last one. And I'm honestly thinking, you know, the 1080, the sports sort of genre from Nintendo is due for a bit of a rebirth. Because it's been a while since we've had any sports games from Nintendo, not with Mario in the title. So, you know, I'm thinking something like 1080 getting a new version will be, you know, on the cards this year for the Switch.
It's pretty solid. Daniel, your turn.
I will say though, if 1080 is a thing and NST do it, that does mean that Donkey Kong versus Mario won't happen.
Oh, that was them, wasn't it?
Yeah, NST.
Oh.
Well, Daniel, your turn.
So mine, this is a bit of a stretch, and I hope everyone's willing to go with me with this, but I just feel it that we will get a new Kirby game this year. you know.
No, I don't see it. I just don't. There's no precedent.
Yeah, here, no. Why would you say something so bold yet so brave?
Although thinking about it and doing research after I wrote that down, I'm like, next year is actually Kirby's 30th anniversary, so maybe something more for that. But, you know, I would love to see like a Kirby Mass Effect for Switch or even just, you know, a proper, anyway, proper 3D Kirby
what?
Kirby Mass Attack?
Yeah.
Oh, you said Mass Effect. You said Mass Effect.
No, sorry.
All three of us are just like, what?
A Kirby RPG made by BioWare after they
did okay with the Sonic RPG.
Sonic and the Sonic Brotherhood.
So, yeah. And there was, in the original Mass Attack game, there was a little RPG mode in it. So,
the producers of the Kirby series have already come out and said there will be more games this year. So, you know, I mean, it's Kirby. You know, if you turn a Nintendo console on in 1 year, you're going to get a Kirby game. So, I don't think it's going to be a matter of, you know, will it happen? It's going to be a matter of when it happens.
Could you imagine
and what kind of game it'll be?
Well, could you imagine if there was a Kirby Mass Effect game and how bonkers the sex scenes would be? My goodness.
Oh, God, no.
And all the options. I was just going to say something then, and I'm like, no, this is a family-friendly show. It's just like, let's not talk about Kirby in that context.
But I originally would have said, you know, a brand new, proper, full Kirby game, but then when I realized next year's the 30th, I don't know, I could see them sort of saving something for that. But
I'd love to see them do an Epic Yarn 2.
Yeah.
Epic Yarn is my favorite game.
Because they really, especially on the 3DS version of it, they sort of went a little bit further, but they really made use of that mechanic, you know, the yarn sort of style with the world interaction. So I'd love to see them do something more there. I don't want to see another bloody Kirby Paintbrush game because it didn't work on the Wii U.
It was so bad.
It worked on the DS. DS was great. But if it comes to Switch, it either means you're going to use an analog stick when you're docked onto a TV, or you're going to have a Joy-Con out and you're going to be painting in 3D space and it won't work, or you're going to have to pay handheld only, which defeats the purpose of a Switch.
Could have worked as a mobile game, like an Endless Runner.
Oh, easily.
Wow. And Endless Runners aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Oh, no, they're not that great, but, you know, it could have worked at least. You know,
could have.
But I would honestly like to see them try something new. Like, Kirby seems to work best when they do try new things with him. So, you know, Kirby Canvas Curse, the S one we're talking about. That was great the first time. The second time, you've already done this. Mass Effect.
I have the game, Kirby Star Boutique. We've seen Kirby dress up in all the different outfits from Smash Brothers every time he absorbs the powers of one of the other fighters. So having Kirby in a Star Boutique game will make Ollie play it.
Yeah. Like what?
But yeah, I think the next big thing is a proper Kirby 3D action platform thing.
Yeah, the last proper 3D game we got from Kirby was Kirby's Air Ride on the GameCube.
Yeah,
everything else has been sort of 2D since. So
that's a horrible game. Don't bring it up.
There was also that Kirby golf game on the Super Nintendo.
Oh what was that called again? It's on the app. It's on the Super Nintendo app. Dream Course?
A Kirby Dream Course.
Yeah.
That game's great.
That was a fantastic game. So hard. I struggled with that so much as a kid.
I love that game. All right, my turn. Finishing these up. My third prediction is that we'll continue to hear nothing about Metroid Prime 4 throughout 2021. I think this is a pretty safe one. I kind of phoned this one in. I'm not going to predict that we're going to get the Prime trilogy on the Switch because, you know, everyone's holding out for that one. But some other ones that I kind of wanted to throw out there, or at least one of them, I can't remember the other one. There were two that I wanted to predict, and I can't remember the second. One with the recent announcement of Perfect Dark getting rebooted on the Xbox, that maybe there is an opportunity that we could get Perfect Dark remastered on the Switch, because that was already released on XBLA in 2010, thereabouts, and that was an N64 game. And Microsoft and Nintendo have been high-fiving a little bit lately, so that could be a possibility, but unlikely.
I mean, if we're throwing fourth ones out there, the only one that I wanted to put on there but I felt it was a bit too easy was that Mario will be back in a sports game, because Camelot, the folks that make the Mario Tennis and Mario Golf games, we haven't had anything from them since Mario Tennis Aces. And they've just been cycling through those bizarre competitions that Nintendo of America have been promoting. But they also did the golf game on PlayStation 4 start of 2019. So they've been quiet as a studio. So Mario Golf seems like a pretty easy thing for them to do.
Are they not owned by Nintendo?
No. They were second party for a while, then they sort of became a bit more third party.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. That sort of split off a bit. I would love to see a new Golden Sun.
My suggestion is xCloud on Switch, but that's it.
That could work. Would be good. Would be great.
That would be the day that breaks the internet.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
actually in Australia now.
just because you brought up Camelot, I'm just like, so, you know, they made Golden Sun, but I don't think another Golden Sun's happening.
God, no.
And they also invented Waluigi. So what about, you know, there's no more Mario and Luigi games being made. What about a Wario and Waluigi game from Camelot?
Well, I mean, Vooks did throw in on the list that's on the site a new Wario game as an option. It's been a number of years since he got a dedicated, game of his own that wasn't a minigame collection. So maybe who did that one? No, I'm trying to think now who did the...
Goodfeel?
The last one.
Is it Goodfeel?
Maybe. The one before that was Treasure. I know that.
Shake Dimension.
Shake It. I don't know who did Shake It. But that, because it was animated, I could see WayForward doing it if they wanted to bring it out.
And look, you know, they're very good with doing their butt wiggle animation as seen in the Shanto games. So they've got Wario down pat.
Well, in any case, yeah. So for further predictions, that are probably a little more realistic, maybe. Than some of mine, at least. You can head to Vooks.net and check out the official Vooks list of guesses for 2021 titled What's Nintendo Doing in 2021? We Take a Guess. It's either up now or should be up around the time that this podcast is out. So do have a look at that.
It's up now, yeah.
Yeah, so do have a look at that one, and we'll be back in a year to find out where we all went wrong.
Just getting back to your Metroid one, Angelo. Mm-hmm. So you know, again, this year's the 35th anniversary of Metroid. You don't think that they're going to do anything for that?
Oh, I didn't say that.
They have to do Prime 4.
Yeah, I just said that, okay. Not Prime 4.
Or the Prime Collection.
Could be a trilogy, but that's been everyone's prediction Okay. Every year. Or we could get Samus Returns ported to the Switch or something like that, maybe.
Or Federation Force.
But I just don't think we're going to hear anything about Prime 4 this year. I reckon that'll either
I'd love to see Samus Returns 2.
Yeah.
Samus Returns come to Switch. I think that would it would do well. I don't think it would take too much effort for can't think of the company's name now.
Mm.
That's it. I had Steam in my head, but then I kept thinking Codename Steam because Daniel mentioned it like 9,000 times earlier.
It's a really good game. You know, I will stand hard for that.
Let's move on to officially announced projects that are definitely maybe coming out this year. So it's Super Nintendo World, provided that there aren't any more outbreaks in Japan, is set to open up in early February.
I will say I've had a friend go through already. He got early access. He went in on Christmas Eve, and his simple one word reaction, because he's not allowed to share anything on it, was just wow.
Mm.
So take from that what you will.
Actual games though on the horizon, we've got Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. That's supposed to be in February, right?
Yeah, and we still don't know what Bowser's Fury is.
Nope, no idea at all. Yep. So that should be really interesting. It's a nice little surprise to have, I guess. We've got Monster Hunter Rise and Monster Hunter Stories 2 on the horizon as well.
There is also a demo for Monster Hunter Rise coming out this month.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which you're not supposed to talk about that.
We've got
we know exactly when it's going to happen thanks to the leaks, but you know, you can find that out by yourself.
Yeah, just do a Google search. We've got No More Heroes 3, which is... been long in the works, I think. People have been expecting that one for a long time. Persona 5 Strikers, you know, the latest Persona 5 game to come to the Switch that is not the actual Persona 5 that most people want.
Yeah.
New Pokemon Snap, though, I'm all about that. Neo, The World Ends With You, which is the sequel to the original game from 2007, I want to say, on the DS.
Yeah, 7.
Shin Megami Tensei.
My favorite game.
Shin Megami Tensei 5. Bravely Default 2. So those are all the bigger ones. And then we've got some interesting indie ones to look forward to, or smaller ones at least. Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX, which is a remake of the original Sega Master System game. Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection, which I believe is it a remaster or is it a sequel to Ghosts and Goblins?
It's a remake.
Remake,
sorry. Of Ghosts and Goblins.
I thought it was a brand new game.
Yeah. No, it's a remake / expansion of it. It's not wholly original, but it's also not, you know, a complete remake. It's one of those weird ones.
Yeah. Sports Story out of indie devs. Who are they again?
I can't remember the name.
That's right.
Sidebar Games.
There we go.
Yeah.
And we've also got Hollow Knight out of Team Cherry. Hollow Knight Silk Song, which has been looked forward to by many people for a long time. So Sports Story and Hollow Knight, Silk Song out of Australia. So a pretty packed year. In 2021, let's just hope that, you know, COVID-19 or the pandemic in general just doesn't sort of halt things, and we can potentially get some more announcements as well throughout the year, which would be good. Usually we go through games we're playing, but we're getting pressed for time at the moment, so maybe we'll just skip that one for this week if everyone's all right with that, and we'll go straight into Fortnite forecast. So between today, the day of recording, January 3 to January 17, the next date of recording, we've got two notable games coming. On Gen 12, we've got Five Nights at Freddy's Core Collection, which is digital only, and a physical release will come a few weeks later. And then on January 14th, one that I'm very excited about is Scott Pilgrim versus the World Complete a Collection, which is very, very exciting because it'll be 11 years since the original game came out. Can you imagine that? It's been 11 years since.
I can unplug my Xbox 360.
And it also is one of those games that was digital only. And then, you know, when they took it off the storefront, it was one of those ones. It was lost to the, you know, the depths of the internet. And when, so it also is a good thing.
And when did that get taken off as well? That was quite early on. It was like 2013, 2014. Yeah, it was really early on.
I was looking it up yesterday.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, so it only lasted for about 4 years online before it was removed. So it's been 6 years since people were able to officially buy the game.
And even the creator, Brian Lee O'Malley, was like, it's not in my hands. It's not up to me. And he kind of... charged a little bit of a campaign to get people to reach out to Ubisoft to potentially overturn that, and it's worked. It's happening. So that's one to look forward to, and hopefully we'll have a review for that one as well. But Let's go to what's one of my becoming one of my favorite segments of the episodes of the Vootcast is Nintendo 20 questions. So let me get my little Wikipedia page open here so I can go through as many facts as I can and hopefully get as many things correct as I can. Okay. Have at it, guys. Nintendo 20 questions.
Is this game part of a long-running series?
No.
Okay.
Now, when we say long-running series, is that like, or does that just mean it just got one game or one and two games and it's not...
Well, you'll have to ask a question with a yes or no answer to get that result. I mean, I'm going to assume that it's something that only has one or maybe two games, but, you know, maybe further questions will be more enlightening.
Was this game released before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Okay, so it's... So we now got things. But the other question to ask now was this game a console release?
Yes.
Cool. So that knocks out the handhelds and brings us to NES, SNES, and 64.
And no arcade missing one. As well. You're missing one there, Luke. I believe Daniel whipped one out before.
Well, does that count as a handheld? Or
Game & Watch?
No.
Virtual Boy.
Yeah, I don't class that as a console because it didn't connect to a TV.
That's fine. I'm just pulling your leg.
Well, it could be the old Nintendo Color TV 10 or something.
Something that other people own, Daniel.
I don't have one of them.
That's why I said something other people own. All right, so we know it's console before
2000.
And it's not in a long-running series.
Okay. Correct. Is it a Nintendo-published game?
Yes.
Okay.
I have an idea on this already.
So I'll reconfirm that one. It was published by Nintendo in certain regions.
Ah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So maybe don't hold on to that one.
I think we can.
No. That actually helps a bit. Actually,
developed by Nintendo. So, that's not a question. That's just me saying it definitely wasn't developed by Nintendo.
Well, especially if they didn't publish it in other regions. Yeah. All right. So, I have a question then. Was this game made for the Super Nintendo?
No.
Okay.
Oh goodness. That's brought me to the two consoles that I do not know particularly well.
That's the game I thought it might have been.
Because I was thinking, you know, Nintendo published, but in all regions, I'm like, could it be like Illusion of Time or Secret of Mana or something? Or,
well, obviously, it could have been, but now we don't have Super Nintendo.
Mm.
I suppose we need to narrow down which platform it's on. Was this game released on the Nintendo 64?
Yes.
Okay, not the 64 title. My brain is now jumped to Jet Force Gemini, but
but that would have been published by Nintendo in every region.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it could have been one of those bizarre cusp things where THQ published it in some regions just because of some weird deal. But
well, that would be Conker. I can't, you know, because I know Nintendo didn't publish Conkers in some regions.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I'll ask the question: Is the developer still actively making games for Nintendo platforms?
That's actually a good question. Let me just double check that. Just chat amongst yourselves while I figure this out.
That's a nice beard you've got going today, Ollie.
Thank you. It's been a long time since I did anything with it.
I like that we've got the four stages of growth. We've got Daniel with nothing, Angelo with a few days growth, me with a half a beard, and Ollie with a full beard.
I can't grow facial hair.
I'm pretty sure they do not operate anymore, from what I understand.
Okay.
At least there hasn't been anything out of them for a long time, if they are still in business.
Okay, so that removes things like Blast Corps from the list, because that was done by Rockstar, and they're still actively making things.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, is it a Western developer?
No.
Is it from a Western developer? Okay.
Okay. Sin and Punishment was on the 64.
But Treasure's still around.
Are they, though?
Well, they're not dead officially.
Well, because the question I asked was not are they still around, it's are they still making for Nintendo? And I honestly can't think if they are or not.
Well, the last thing that they had come out was Ikaruga on Switch.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to put that in the maybe column, though. I'm not content to give that game up just yet.
Yeah, so
Japanese-developed title. Well, it's not the series, so it's not Sin and Punishment, because there was a sequel to that on the Wii. So that knocks that out anyway. So 64 game, made Japan, released before 2000, so it's not those, you know, last 18 months in the new millennium.
So you're only on 8 so far, so you're not doing too badly. You've still got some opportunities to burn some, if you want to narrow things down.
All right.
Got genre, you got all that kind of stuff.
Is it a game with a primary protagonist?
Yes.
Okay.
Tim, my brain's now thinking Bomberman 64, because Konami haven't made anything on Switch for a number of years.
Well, I mean, they did Bomberman R, though.
Yeah, but that was launched.
And that Contra game.
For Switch, that was in 2017. It's been...
But it's still a long-running series, so that kind of knocks it out.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other reason I was hesitant to bring it up. Okay, so was that a yes to the primary protagonist or no?
Yes, there is a primary protagonist.
Okay, so... I mean, it could be Mystical Ninja starring Goemon, because I did the 64 game and then died. But that's in a series, but it's not a long-running series, because it's only the Super Nintendo games and the 64 game.
Oh, no, there's more to that series than that.
I think we need to start, like, getting towards genres, because otherwise we're just never going to get this.
Yeah, true. Would this game be considered a 3D platformer?
No.
Okay.
Oh, bit of hesitation there.
So it's probably like a 2.9D platformer.
So 10 down.
Okay, so it's not a 3D platformer. I mean, it doesn't knock platformers off the list. Just knocks down like an open sort of 3D, like Mario.
The thing is, right? Like, I think we can eliminate like puzzle games, or at least like solely puzzle games, because they wouldn't really have a primary protagonist.
Well, Tetris Attack.
Yeah.
Could, you know, maybe Ash
Ketchum.
That's
a long-running series, though. Kind of.
Pokemon Puzzle League. Sorry, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, you know, Ash is on the box art, so maybe he's the primary for that one. I don't know who made it, though. I suppose the other one would be RPG. 64 was really known for platformers and some big RPGs. So
no real RPGs on N64 that I can think of that were published by Nintendo is there's Ogre Quest 64 and Shirin the Wanderer, but that only came out in Japan, Shirin the Wanderer. And Paper Mario, but that's still an ongoing series, and the developer NST is still doing stuff.
I suppose the other thing, you know, maybe it's a sports game or a kart racing game, because there were a lot of those on the 64 as well.
So
again, we still haven't nailed down genre. Still haven't nailed down. Do we nail down platform? We did, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. On 64.
Okay.
It's not a platformer.
It's not a 3D platformer. So it could be a side-scrolling platformer. I suppose we need to nail down the genre. So I'll bring the question: is this game an RPG?
No.
Okay.
So 11.
Okay. So just clarifying, we've asked if it's a 3D platformer, and it's not, right?
Correct.
It's not a 3D platformer.
Is it?
The way he keeps emphasizing 3D and hesitating before makes me think it's a 2D platformer. And I can't think of many 2D platformers on the 64.
I can. And if we go back to Treasure, Mischief Makers.
I was just thinking Mischief Makers. But
It depends on your definition of how active treasure is.
Well, we could burn a question and ask, does it have mischief in the title?
Yeah.
Or we can ask, is the primary protagonist we mentioned earlier male?
No.
Okay. Well, that gives us plus one for mischief makers because the lead character is Marina. But then it could also be like a robot.
Yeah, I mean, my brain keeps jumping to things like Glover and things like that, but they're more traditional platformers.
Yeah.
What's the way to narrow down if it's Mischief Makers?
I don't know enough about it to do that.
Neither do I.
And we've still got 8 questions to go as well, so.
I mean, we can burn one and ask if it has mischief in the title.
Well, okay. Easier. Is it from Treasure?
Yes.
Okay, I can't see how it could be anything else for Mischief Makers now.
Okay, just give me one more. Is it a 2D platformer?
Yes, it is a 2D platformer. Well, you're the one that worked it out, Daniel. You asked the question.
Is it Mischief Makers?
It is Mischief Makers, yes. You got that one in 15. So developed by Treasure, who hasn't officially released the title since 2014 on the Nintendo 3DS, according to Wikipedia.
Hmm.
Published by Enix in Japan and by Nintendo in North America and PAL regions. So that's why I got tripped up with that question.
Most people are going, who the hell is Enix?
Well, yes, it was before.
Before the merge. Before times.
Yeah, before they had merged. But it was the same year as Final Fantasy VII. So 1997 was when that game came out. So it came out in June in Japan and October and December in North America and PAL countries, respectively.
Cool. So, yeah, legit looked over it, never played it.
Oh, really? So none of you guys have ever really played it? Well, I'm glad I stumped Luke at least, so that makes me happy. But no, I played the hell out of Mischief Makers. I got it as an X rental from Blockbuster back in the day. Played it a whole bunch, really enjoyed it. Super fun game. And again, it was difficult to answer your question as to whether or not it's a male or female character because, yes, she is a robot.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking when I said, like, it could have been a robot. I was like, oh, I kind of asked the wrong question there.
I was
thinking for a while was like Star Wars Rogue Squadron because like they're not around anymore. Factor 5.
They still are. They're making iPad apps and they did the stuff for Netflix and Hulu for the mobile apps. But they were that was also developed in the USA. So
they did that fish game on iOS.
The aquarium thing or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it was a weird game. But yeah, Mr. Makers. I love that game. We're good for a re-release of that one. That could be one of those sort of obscure ones that Nintendo's just kind of like, oh, whatever, we need something out there on a Nintendo 64. I'll just slap that one on there. No one really cares about it. And then little Angie will be like, yeah, let's do it. All right. Yes. Let's finish things up there. So that about wraps up this week's VookCast. Be sure to head to the site www.vooks.net for all your Nintendo news, reviews, and everything in between. To keep up to date, follow the site on Twitter at vooks.net, all spelled out, or jump on over to our Discord at bit.ly/VooksDiscord. Ollie, where can people find you?
You can find me at said Discord. Just noting that it's bit.ly/VooksDiscord in all lower caps. A lot of people put, camel casing for that, and it's not that, it's all lower caps. But you can also find me on Twitter at Chocobalt, Chocobalt.
And what about you, Luke?
They can find me. I'm also hovering around in the Discord, but they can find me at RenderMan7 or over at MaxiGeek.
And Daniel?
At WorthNintendo on Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mangelo with a zero at the end, and now on Twitch at Mangelo Show with no zeros in there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next fortnight. Bye-bye.